to Full Service Radio.
Full Service Radio.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service Radio. Peace, peace. What's up, you guys? It's your favorite twins, Aryam.
And Yodit.
And you're tuned in to Disoul Radio, powered by Full Service Radio. And we're broadcasting live from the Line Hotel, D.C.
That's right, Aryam. Every Wednesday here at 6:30, your girls here talk music, culture, and everything under the sun. And sometimes it's just us two in the studio, and sometimes we're blessed with some guests, and today happens to be one of those days. We've got Priscilla Ward in the building.
Hey. Hey.
Priscilla, we're so glad to have you.
Hey, guys.
Hey,
how
girl.
Are you all doing?
Good, good, good. Good to have you here.
Good
super excited.
Yeah.
Welcome to Disoul Radio. It's been a long time coming. Priscilla is not just a dear friend of ours. She is a very, very talented writer and also founder of the platform Black and Lit. And if you don't know, you will find out on this episode. But before we dive into picking your brain, Priscilla, Yodit and I were just pop culture junkies, so we can't continue the show without talking about what's buzzing. So before we dive in, have we heard about the 7 Oscar nominations for Black Panther? Can
yes.
we just talk about that for a second?
Yeah. It's awesome. Amazing. Yeah. Expected, I hope.
But this is a big deal because this is the first superhero movie that was nominated for Best Picture. So that is pretty cool. It's
yeah.
historical, obviously. Yep. But in addition to that, another 6 nominations. So congratulations on that. And there's a lot of other firsts. Even Spike Lee got his... So, mind you, Spike Lee has been making films since 1985, at least feature films. And this is his first Best Director nomination.
Insane.
I mean, isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Like,
and he has, like, a full body of work just, like, out there.
I mean...
Living.
I mean, first of all, like, this is kind of crazy. Like,
yeah.
I feel like you're... When do you ever feel like you need to give up? Like, he's been working years and years and years, and he just finally got this nomination.
It's a big deal, because his work is amazing. I can't even, like, pinpoint my favorite Spike Lee movie.
You can't pin... Oh, yeah, there's a
because
lot.
Because there's so many good ones.
There's Do the Right Thing.
Right.
The Malcolm X
right.
movie. There's yeah. so many.
So many. It's insane.
And I mean, he's also done a great job of, like, putting on other Black filmmakers as well.
Yes.
Like, teaching at NYU, mm-hmm. like co-signed so many other productions as well that
yeah.
Without necessarily putting his name out there that he's doing that work, but also pushing other people's work forward at the same time.
That speaks volumes about the person he is, though.
Yeah.
Like, he's just a man of the people, too. Like, he obviously has his craft, and he's always going to commit to that, but he really does believe in the community as well. So I think that's always been a
yeah.
part of his mission, which is really cool. But congrats to him, yo.
Yeah. So it's like a
you
lot
know,
of...
And the crazy thing is that simultaneously, Ruth E. Carter got nominated for Best Costume Design in Black Panther. They have a long working relationship. So it's like a double win for the two
really?
Of them.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
She's amazing, too.
Those
obviously.
Costumes were everything.
Everything. Let me tell y'all something that I found out recently. So Angela Bassett's character in the movie... she wears a couple headpieces in two different colors. Like, one's like black and one's like cream. I just learned that Ruth E. Carter actually reached out to a designer in Denmark and had them 3D printed for the movie. 3D printed. Like, amazing. Did you guys know that?
No.
You're actually, like, teaching me as we go.
Yeah.
So. It's like, that's how much clout she has. And then she's just, like, such a, like, innovator and trailblazer. She's like, you know, I'm going to reach out to some 3D printers out in Denmark and make some of these dope head pieces for this movie. And now look, it all paid off.
I mean, the attention to the details, I mean, it's been recognized. So congratulations on all the nominees. But one thing that is still up in the air is who's going to be hosting this year's Oscars?
Oh, yeah.
Because after, you know, the whole Kevin Hart, he's dropping out because of the whole... homophobic tweets from 2009 resurfacing, they still haven't come up with another person. So who would you guys think would replace or be the host of this year's Oscars? Or who would you want to see?
I don't know. That's a good question.
I mean, Tracy is an amazing host.
Yeah,
I think.
She is.
She Tracy always Ross. Comes through.
She comes through.
That is such a great person to think of.
I mean, she like always saves it.
Yeah, she does.
Yeah.
And the fits, though.
Yeah.
She'll be ready.
Yeah.
Ready.
She'll definitely have all the outfit changes for sure. But she's also like very funny. Like very funny.
She's great. Yeah.
So that's actually a really good person. I ever thought. I was just thinking personally, Yodi, every time I see Ellen host, I'm pretty satisfied. And everybody likes Ellen for the most part.
Yeah.
Now.
She's likable, but she's hosted twice already. We want to see like someone new, you know? And each time was great, but, you know, I think Tracy would be a good contender. I'm with you, Priscilla.
And also, I'm ready for someone younger.
Yeah, right? Why is it always people that are of a certain age range?
Yeah,
I never thought about that.
I mean, I feel like they have to, like, all the hosts really have to prove themselves. And it's very rare that someone that's young really is not that, I don't want to say not respected, but is
they have to be in the game for a while, maybe.
Yeah, you kind of have to earn it. Like, it's not just you're hosting anything.
Yeah.
It's a pretty big award show. A lot of people tune in, and you have to be.
Yeah. Also, the Academy is probably predominantly of a certain age range, too. They're probably not going to relate to, like, young humor.
True.
They're probably like, what? What was that reference? So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
There's definitely that, too.
Yeah, so, okay. I think we got a good little list going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll vote for Tracy.
I vote for Tracy,
always.
Too. All right, Priscilla. Cheers.
So what's up, Yodi? What else is going
on? Okay, so R. Kelly's being muted, which is cool. We're seeing it happen, right? I think Sony had parted ways with him, you know, which is cool to see those repercussions take place. But in addition to that, Spotify actually is launching a feature where you can actually mute artists you don't want to hear. So like social media, you can actually search an artist and block them. So that if you're listening to a discography or a playlist or, you know, a certain radio, like categorized quote unquote radio, they will like just swap out or pull out all those artists that you don't want to listen to. I think it kind of, this whole R. Kelly movement helped birth that. So you can actually personalize that. They haven't launched it yet, actually, but they're working on it, which I thought was pretty cool. But
I think that is convenient because it's surprisingly enough, like even all in the midst of this whole R. Kelly fiasco, there are some people that are defending him or believe that there's still, after all these years and after all these stories and cases that are coming to surface, fabricated. So there are people that still want to hear R. Kelly.
Yeah,
in their personal playlists.
Mm. Yeah.
And you know, people can do whatever they want, but if they want the choice to have them on their playlist, that's fine. But I just want everyone to have an option if they're not really rocking with the artist right now or just in general, they can filter that out. Because all those curated playlists, you're like, even generally, even if you don't even have a problem with the artist, but you kind of think they're annoying, like, I didn't want to really hear this song right now. I was in a groove.
Yeah.
You know?
It could be,
it's a lot of things, but
I thought that was interesting. So we'll see what that looks like and how that plays out. I mean, I personally can't think of an artist that I would want to block besides, you know, obviously R. Kelly, but yeah, I would have to think of a list of people that I would like feel like, oh yeah, I'm so happy I blocked them, because I can't think of any on the
top. I mean,
top
Priscilla,
of my head.
Can you even think of someone you'd,
I mean,
would want to dismiss?
There's definitely a few, but this feels like the whole like banned book situation that they have at the library. Like, if these artists are really problematic, then why not just take their music off the platform? Like, it just feels like you're just leaning into a moment and not really about necessarily making any real like impact, if you will, or change, you're just saying, oh, we'll just like lean in for a second and like encourage people to mute these people, participate, but what is that actually?
Oh, I guess I never thought about it that way. It's kind of like,
what is that actually doing?
Right, it's like scratching the surface.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I mean,
I like that. I mean, I never thought about that way.
There's people that think just like you, Priscilla, and then there's diehard fans that will just completely make everything excusable. So
yeah, there's still some like artists in the industry that are like, well, where were the parents? You know, so.
And then there's, I mean.
Which is sick.
I mean, Erykah Badu's comment could go two ways.
Yeah.
It's like.
I think I heard something about that. When
she was just like, oh, we should pray for R. Kelly.
Mm.
Some people took that as, okay, maybe she's saying we should like.
Sympathize for him.
And then there's people who are like, what does she actually mean by that?
Yeah, it's like
because I feel like a lot of people were saying, you know, she wasn't justifying what he was doing, but that he had, you know, his own traumas in the past, that it's almost like that cycle of abuse kind of thing. But it's such a tricky time and a tricky situation, like, that, you know, if you say something like that, it can be taken that way.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's been a divide in response.
But do other platforms have this option?
No, Spotify just announced that they're working on this.
So maybe this will, you know, spark ideas for other platforms, too. Because they want to please everybody at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Right? So maybe they'll Apple just pull Music it out completely. Yeah. Apple might actually be the one to
delete.
Like, cancel, cut off culture. Like, cancel it.
Well, but listeners, what do you guys think?
Right.
We could go on and on about this conversation, but you can tweet at us your thoughts at DUXSOL on Twitter.
Yes.
But this feels like a really good time to take a break. We will continue on and get to know Priscilla Ward a little bit more. But until then, we have our SoulCloud pick of the week. We are just, it's not a very new song, but we're shining light on Alicia Drayton, who used to be formerly known as Moody. She just released the video for Siren. So we're just showing her a little bit of love and playing her song for the break music today. The track's called Siren by Alicia Drayton.
Feel the breeze smoking trees, cloudy and bright. Now I want so many cautions. Shotgun sipping, rolling with the tide. I think I want more. Oh yeah, I need more of your intensity. Love when you speak, no need to speak. I know you want more. I'ma give you.
Peace. Welcome back to DeSoul Radio, your favorite twins, R.E.M.
and Yodit.
And you're tuned in to DeSoul Radio. I already said that, but I'll say it again. Anyway, you guys were just listening to our SoulCloud pick of the week. It was a song called Siren by now being known as Alicia Drayton. such a smooth track.
Yeah, she's going places.
Yes.
Yeah.
And also, guys, if you were listening earlier or just joining us now, we have a special guest in the building, Priscilla Ward. How are you feeling so far?
I'm doing good.
You having fun?
I'm doing good. This is actually my first time doing this.
Yes.
I'm normally on the other side, like interviewing and behind a computer.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is cool.
Yes. So you are a writer. And we love your work, obviously. That's why we have you here.
Thank you.
Besides you being a cool person, obviously, that too. But we want to talk a little bit about your process. I mean, how did you really get into writing? Because, you know, you've explored it. We've seen that you've had working for Essence and BET. But, like, tell us a little bit more about your journey and your relationship with writing.
Absolutely.
I know it's like kind of loaded, but...
Yeah.
It's crazy. Loaded question.
So my story really began... So I was homeschooled.
Oh, cool.
And I was a super nosy kid growing up.
Mm.
So my mom, like, did a great job of making sure that I was involved with various programs around DC and just, like, trying to, like, figure out what's Priscilla good at? What should we put her in? Should she be involved with music? Should she play sports? And then somewhere around the eighth grade, my mom found this newspaper called Young DC. And she was like, I'm going to take you to this program with these other kids. And it's a great opportunity for you to, like, work on writing and all of that. So I show up to Young DC on 18th Street. And it was just, like, these kids from all over the city. And this woman by the name of Kathy Mannix. And she, like, coached us on how to, like, write stories. And this was just, like, my entrance into the world, if you will, like, outside of being homeschooled.
This
was my opportunity to sort of explore the music scene in DC and just, like, go to various events and access, like, different parts of culture here in the city that I normally wouldn't have had the same exposure to being homeschooled. So it was great. I was obsessed with it, kept on writing for Young DC, eventually got to become their entertainment editor, which was a great opportunity.
That's cool.
It was super cool. And then from that point on, I was just like, I want to do this for the rest of my life. I want to like tell people's stories. This is super empowering, being able to do this. So I saw myself in Essence magazine. It was like a reflection of me. I saw these like powerful women. So that was like the ultimate goal for me to like eventually be this boss lady at Essence at the top. I had this vision of myself in like Pump, Superfly, being the editor in chief. So
I feel like everyone's seen those movies where you have like editor in chief bust through the doors
exactly.
and be, like, in this chic outfit.
Exactly.
Like, the whole
so that
vision.
Was going to be me.
Yeah.
At Essence, just doing my thing. So after DC, I went to Temple in Philly, studied journalism and theater there. And eventually I got an internship at a small men's magazine called Blue. And Blue was cool. My cousin actually worked in the entertainment industry and did a great job with like walking my papers, really advocating for me. She used to work at Vibe magazine.
Oh, nice.
So
oh,
she really
snap.
Like sort of coached me on how to like talk to people, navigate
kind
in
of
New
network.
York, network and all of that. Like my cousin would literally take me to these spaces with her and she would be like, she wouldn't necessarily, like, spoon-feed me, if you will, or, like, do, like, direct introductions to people all the time. But she would make sure that I was in these spaces and say, hey, that's so-and-so. You need to talk to them. It was, like, a learning experience.
Okay.
Like, I'm not going to just, like, take you to these parties with me. You need to be doing the work as well.
Yeah.
Right.
So.
Throwing you in
it's
there.
It's like she's, like, showing you, like, placing you where there is opportunities,
she was
but
strategically
you need to do it.
Placing me in these spaces.
Oh, that's real love.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because it's like, I'm going to show you what it is, but you're going to have to.
Yeah. Shout out to Cousin Kim.
Yes. Shout out to Cousin Kim.
Yes. So.
So it's really interesting that you like manifested that.
Yeah.
Like you were like, I'm going to work at Essence one day. And then you did.
Yeah. So after Blue Magazine, I'm going into my senior year of college. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I'm back in Philly. I'm trying to figure out how can I get an internship at Essence Magazine. Mm-hmm. I had applied the summer before, didn't get in. So decided, you know what? I need a bigger name on my resume to make this happen. So got an internship at O Magazine.
Oh, wow.
And this is my senior year of college. So wow. Here I am.
O like Oprah?
Yeah. O like Oprah.
That's tight.
Yeah.
Casual.
Yeah. So I'm in my senior year of college. I'm taking 17 credits. I have a work study. I'm staying with my friend's aunt in the Bronx. Mm. So I'm going up to New York on Fridays at like 6:30 in the morning to get to New York by 9 a.m. I'm rolling into O Magazine with my little suitcase.
Cute.
And I'm a fashion editorial intern there. Did that internship. Then I would go to Levi's, make some coins real quick, and then head back to Philly to like do my work, my homework and all of that, and then go back to class.
Wow, that is a hustler.
So that was like my hustle. Yeah, it was like by any means necessary, I need to like have this bigger name on my resume so that I could apply to Essence for this internship that I really wanted to get into. So after all of that, I ended up applying to Essence again, ended up getting the internship finally.
Yay.
I remember the day. I was in my senior capstone and I was carrying this like heavy ass camera around Philly. Like who's telling stories with these big cameras like that? It didn't make any sort of sense. Mm. But I'm carrying this camera around and there's this coffee shop and I get a call, and I remember like running out of the coffee shop screaming, running down the street.
It's like a movie moment.
Like shaking.
Yes.
And then I called my mom and told her I got the internship at Essence. So I, after I graduated, I packed up my bag, stayed with a family friend in New York, and told my parents, I'm going to figure it out after this. Mm-hmm. I'm going to figure it out from here. So Essence was great. Like the first day, they bring all the interns into a boardroom meeting, just all of these editors that I've seen in Massheads for all of these years, just right.
That's
there.
Surreal.
It was just like, wow, like this is amazing.
Yeah.
So I was an intern at Essence for a few months, and then that turned into a freelance opportunity. And then I quickly learned that everything is not just going to be this linear path.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be like everything sort of happens in circles. Mm. So, there were definitely ups and downs in that journey that I experienced after that.
Yeah.
There was a job at a company where I experienced the first time being one of the only.
Oh.
And figuring out how to navigate that space as a Black creative.
That's crazy, because we're going to ask you, like, what were some challenges, if you had any challenges on your, while you're trying to navigate? Like, if you could list anything, like, that stood out to you. We were going to ask you that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because I'm sure there were other challenges like that.
Yeah, there were definitely, like, little things, like, asking me about my hair. There were there were things, like, not saying hi to me at all, even in certain spaces.
Yikes.
Like, people going out to lunch on Friday, and I'm just sitting there. And they're like, bye.
And this is like a 180.
And this is like
experience.
A 180. It was just like I came from this loving environment with all the glowed up aunties.
Right. Yeah.
Feeling like home.
Feeling like home.
It sounds a lot like a culture
this
shock.
Environment.
Yeah.
So it was definitely a shift. And then after that, I went on to Health Magazine. And that was a great opportunity. I got a lot of mentorship as far as growing as a writer, learning how to pitch. A woman by the name of Rosalind Frazier, she really took me underneath her wing and sort of coached me, gave me some tough love at times. Mm. But it was important. It definitely helped me grow a lot.
Mm-hmm.
and navigate different spaces. And then after that, I went on to BET, and I was a digital content producer there and had a great team there of people that I worked with, two guys that were almost like brothers to me, who sort of coached me and helped me as well grow in a lot of ways. And then one day, everything with Essence sort of came full circle. I got poached. I got an email from someone who had remembered me when I was a little intern. I was like, hey, we got a digital content production job at Essence. Do you want to come back?
And I was like, yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I want to see this full circle.
Right.
Running back.
So came back to Essence. Had a great time there. Definitely learned a different side of the game. But it was great. It was great to see how you can sort of manifest something and see something full all the way through, even if it doesn't happen like step one, step two, step three. Things can happen, but it's not always going to happen in your timing.
I think that's really important for people who are listening that are aspiring to or aiming for that dream job, not to be so hard on yourself, because life is so convoluted. Like it doesn't, you can create a plan all you want, but it's very rare that it falls into place exactly
how
you outlined
it. Or maybe you should pencil in room for those moments where things don't.
An outline is nice.
It's okay.
An outline is pretty nice. But can you let us know around how many years were you, I guess, working for corporate America, like corporate companies like Essence? Yeah. Like how many years?
About? Yeah. So I graduated in 2013, and I mean, only recently did I start sort of creating this freelance career for myself. So I was in the corporate world for a good 4 years. Four or five years now.
So what made you take the leap and say, you know what, I want to branch out, like I just want to start my own, like Black and Lit, let's talk about that.
Absolutely.
How did that even come to fruition?
Absolutely.
Like, what was the process? I want to hear about that.
So Black and Lit, funny enough, I was assigned this show at BET called Effin' Fabulous. And this is towards the end of BET. This is when I'm trying to like figure out what's next. Also a little frustrated by some things. But I'm assigned this show, and I wasn't too excited about creating content around it. I mean, it's called Effin' Fabulous. I didn't want
How do you spell it? Like effin'?
Like it was literally F, like letter F.
And in, then N.
N, fabulous. Okay. I was like, I don't want to create,
I can only
like,
imagine the content.
Listicles and videos around these, like, four socialites in New York. This is whack. So,
oh my gosh.
In the role, though, there was, like, power to like create whatever content that you wanted to for your shows. So I utilized that. So I created a 30 under 30 list for BET. Out of that, I was like, why not highlight other socialites in New York, other people in general in New York who are doing amazing things in their community across various industries in tech, education, fashion, the arts, you name it. So created this list, and it was super exciting to see people just like the sense of pride in like having their stories told, being highlighted and featured in this way. Like there's no better feeling than like seeing people like share the content on social, sharing it with their families and whatnot. So out of that, I created an event series where I brought everybody together who was on that list together to sort of meet, network, exchange ideas. And I wasn't like thinking about an event like that at the time. That's just not how I'm wired. I guess I'm more of an introvert. So I was just like, it's great to have this online, but we don't necessarily have to do
much
outside of the internet. Like it could just stay there. But my supervisor at the time, Chuck, he was just like, oh, why don't you like turn this into an event? So I was like, okay, let's do this. So he coached me on how to make that happen. And it was a great experience. So after that, I did a couple more events in New York and decided to bring it here to DC. But beyond just doing events, the purpose of Black and Lit is to help elevate and promote people's stories. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to just like create a turn up space. I mm-hmm. want people to feel as though they're celebrated as well.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So we're going to be launching a series in February called How Did You Get That Life?
Oh, okay.
Where basically we feature various creative stories around the city, not just creatives, but people in general mm-hmm. who are doing amazing things, who we ordinarily, we may have seen like their name somewhere, mm-hmm. their byline somewhere, but we don't necessarily know all the all of their backstory mm-hmm. on how they made it to where they are right mm. now.
Sounds cool.
So I'm super excited about that.
Yeah, that's very
it's a real full circle moment yeah. once again.
Yeah. Cheers yeah. to Black and Lit.
Yeah.
I'm glad that, you know, you've taken those things into account. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not just trying to make it this fun party. Like, you want it to be.
There's purpose.
Yes, mm-hmm. an experience. And I feel like the more that people start to learn about Black and Lit, because it's growing. Mm-hmm. It really is. And I can't wait to see the series come to light. Mm-hmm. It'll just be like well-rounded, like mm-hmm. how you intended it to be, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
But like, I wanted to definitely ask you this because you've had experience working in the corporate world, working in freelance, and now creating this platform that is being well received. What advice can you give to someone that wants to just leave that 9-to-5 and they know they have this idea and they want to pull the trigger?
Yeah, dedicate themselves fully to that. What advice do you have for people who are trying to essentially pursue it?
Well, for me, I think it meant making you don't need to necessarily completely. I don't encourage people to just like quit.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
don't quit yeah. your 9-to-5. Don't just get up and go. Like, you got to have a plan.
Yes. Yes.
So have like clear plans. Like, I like to plan things out quarterly mm-hmm. by having lists. Mm-hmm. So maybe it's just like starting that Instagram account and figuring out how you want to curate that in the first quarter. Maybe it's figuring out how you want to do a newsletter so that you can begin to build a subscription base mm-hmm. to get those people to then turn into customers into whatever you're trying to create, whether it's a product or whether that's turning those people over into regular attendees of events.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
So creating a plan, yes. Setting realistic goals for yourself mm-hmm. because a lot of times, I know myself, I can just like, be hard on myself sometimes about, okay, I wanted this to happen by such and such time. But you also have to be realistic mm-hmm. that things take time to grow, especially when you're starting something from scratch. You don't necessarily have a blueprint, so you're going to make mistakes. You're going to have to go to the drawing board. You're going to have to pivot. You're going to have to like switch. You're going to have to detach yourself from creating something that is solely just for you and think about what your community actually needs because it's about serving other people at the end of the day, mm-hmm. Even though it also helps you.
I didn't even think about it like that. Like serving your community.
Yeah.
So that's a blessing to understand that you have a service. Like, you know, you need, there's a purpose for you, mm-hmm. you know? And I feel like anybody can relate to that. If they feel strongly about something and they have people that support it, even if it's just an idea, just go for it. And it will be received.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And it's okay to make mistakes.
Yeah.
Like,
how do you, for those who, what's your best piece of advice for someone who in a position where they're backsliding and how to cope with that? Because a lot of people don't know how to bounce back.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
If there's a piece of advice that you would say about handling that, what would it be?
Like backsliding from their vision or like,
or if they
just
come,
giving
if there's
up.
A bump in the road mm-hmm. and things are not going to plan, but they know they have the passion there.
Yeah.
Like, what is one piece of advice you would say to somebody that would almost succumb to that?
It's okay to fail. and take a step back and assess. I would suggest just taking notes of what went wrong, how you would improve, how you're going to get over that hump, so that you don't allow that to just like halt the whole entire process. Figuring out who's in your community who can help you get over that hurdle, because there's going to be things that you can't do by yourself. You're going to need like other people to help you. Like with Black and Lit, it's not just me. I have my good friend Jasmine, who's co-curator of Black and Lit, and she helps me, and she's definitely the organized, strategic mind. I also have my friend Nadia in LA who helps out on some things, and then Nick Rich, who's like an amazing photographer,
dope photographer, check
graphic
her out.
Designer, just like understands how to curate an aesthetic, just amazing. It takes a team of people to help you get over the hump.
Right.
It definitely
does. So always look around and don't be afraid to ask for help.
Don't be afraid to ask for
help. Don't let your ego get in the way.
Teamwork makes the dream work.
Absolutely.
Right? There's truth to that.
Yes.
Always. Definitely.
Absolutely. You cannot do everything by yourself.
Well, I'm excited to see Black and Lit grow. And I'm really excited about the series. Is it How did you get that life?
Yes.
Stay tuned.
How can people keep up with you in Black and Lit?
Absolutely. So you can find us on Instagram at Black and Lit. That's spelled B-L-C-K in Lit. And then you can also hit us up by email. And we also have a newsletter. And you can find me at Macaroni Fro.
Awesome. I know. I love that handle.
Priscilla, it's been a pleasure having you in here today.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us.
Yes.
This was a really great conversation. Guys, this is our time to say goodbye.
It is.
We hate this part. We hate this part of our show every week. But if you liked what you heard, you can follow us on Twitter at DEUXSOL and Instagram at the same handle. And we're going to be back next week.
Yeah, same time at 6:30 here at the Line Hotel in DC.
Till next time, y'all.
Peace.